Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening. This is Gwen Berry. I'm here with Nicole Tomasini, and this is The Consciousness Shift. We're here every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Right, Nick?
Absolutely.
And we have a lot of different topics and a lot of different guests, and for the most part, what we're talking about is the incredible paradigm shift that we are actively working on having happen on a planetary level. And also you could categorize us in the spiritual dimension. Anyways, tonight our topic is going to be flower essences and environmental essences and vibrational essences and gem elixirs and all those wonderful remedy applications that the minerals and plant kingdom and environmental nature spirits help us to imbue into pure water in order to create a healing essence or formulated essence, which means different flower essences formulated to achieve certain purposes or to approach certain challenges, issues, or goals in our lives. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Nick, I know you've used them before.
Absolutely. I'm a very big fan. And I'm sure that people don't know that I also used to work with you and Asa and learned quite a bit from your expertise.
Thank you. What a flower essence is basically, well, there's ways to describe it, but there are several companies out there, including Daughters of Isis, that create flower essences as healing remedies, and they're plant allies for the most part. There's the wonderful Findhorn village in Scotland or community that really pioneered a great deal of the flower essences of this generation and the generation before. Way back, it was the Bach flower remedies at the turn of the century. Dr. Bach reconstituted, if you will, brought life back into vibrational and flower essence homeopathy. I call it homeopathy. Some people will actually fence with me on that one. But flower essences are infusions of flowers in pure indigenous water, and they're potentized usually with the sun. And a healer will also use creative visualization and energy of white light techniques or other colors, chroma. And then it's stabilized after it's been potentized in a solution of brandy and water. They don't contain any scent or perfume, and they shouldn't really be ever confused with any essential oils or scents. Flower essences are very diluted preparations, and they should never be confused either with herbal tinctures. That's a concentrated extract of different plant parts. And they're commonly used to treat the physical body's symptoms. The pharmaceutical industry itself is built on synthetic versions of extracts from plants. Flower essences, on the other side of it, stimulate physical healing. And they're used mainly to promote awareness of emotional, mental, and spiritual imbalances. And they can also be used to actually open our conscious awareness to different spiritual tools that are there for us and take us easier and in easier way to our guides, and to work with journey work to open up those portals, if you will, multidimensionally. Flower essences are multidimensional vibrational remedies, and they work very well in opening our awareness a great deal. Now, I'm getting a lot of feedback. Are you, Nick?
No, not at all.
Wow. Well, I see that Tricia has logged in, so I'm going to ask her if she's hearing any static on that end. Please let us know in the chat room. So, flower essences to me are the other side of the bridge. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Sounds great. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Trish. Appreciate that. That's our PE Nolan. Trish is telling us that everything is, she's our technological person on the other side of the curtain. Don't pay attention.
Yeah. Soundboard. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, flower essences offer us the opportunity to, when we're going through healing, they bring about what is called a healing crisis in opening our awareness to the issue, the core issue for a certain behavior and why we have these emotional and mental addictions. That's their primary use in healing, and they can be formulated to be used to bring about healing physically and mentally and emotionally in moments of trauma, or like in the hospitals in Britain and in France and several of the European countries, and also in Japan. They use rescue remedies. They're on the shelves in all of the hospitals, and they carry them with their emergency and trauma units because rescue remedy works. Some people use rescue remedy on their pets. I mean, these are wonderful stocks. In your medicine cupboard. If you don't have rescue remedy, you might think of seriously going to a health food store and asking somebody to explain to you exactly what a rescue remedy is. We're going to do our best to do it right now. It's an application to be used when there's any kind of trauma or crisis, or physical or emotional. And it's a sublingual application. Usually a flower essence comes in a dropper bottle. You put a drop under your tongue. I also put one over my heart center and on the crown of my head. And you don't have to white light it. But when you do, it allows the plant allies, the conscious divas of the plants that are creating this essence for healing, that have potentized these essences, it helps to awaken them to help the remedy work for you. It's not necessary, especially with a rescue remedy, but it goes a long way to making them work better and quicker. Okay, so do you have any input here with this one, Nick?
Not yet. Keep going.
Okay.
Do it.
Okay. And now for our commercial message. And that commercial message would be Daughters of Isis has a wonderful rescue remedy. It's made from the sweetgrass flowers. And sweetgrass is an herb. You always want to work from the properties and qualities of an herb. Sweetgrass, through the nations in this country and throughout Canada, is always been used ceremonially and just as a matter of fact, as that plant that, because of its sweet vanilla-like fragrance when it's burned, especially when it's green and braided, you just bend a braid and you can smell it. It's a lovely scent, takes you someplace safe. And it's considered that the sweetgrass smoke ceremonies, when they hold them in among the nations, many traditions allow for a smoke ceremony of piling old sweetgrass braids and to large enough pile so enough smoke is created so that people will walk through the smoke. And what happens is it's a quickening of your soul into your heart center. The sweetgrass is thought to call only good spirits. That's why you'll see sweetgrass hanging crossed over many thresholds in Native First American homes or businesses. It's considered a good omen to hang the sweetgrass braids. But I chose to work with the sweetgrass flowers as a rescue remedy, and works out pretty well.
I use your sweetgrass mister, Daughters of Isis sweetgrass mister, a lot, and I kind of use it a little bit like I guess most people use your quantum shift to clear the area, kind of start afresh, get like a new energy working, and I use it a lot actually around my computer. I think part of that, you know, the technology along with spirit, you know, we're doing a lot of spiritual or creative work, you know, with our computer, so it really seems to help level the playing field and makes my head feel great. I might spray some right now.
that's nice to hear. Well, the sweetgrass oil, which is pretty, I do not know of another company that's really making sweetgrass oil, the real thing. Most are fragrances out there. I've been doing it for over, well, close to 20 years actually now. The sweetgrass oil, and I put sweetgrass flower essence in with it, and the mist is created as a rescue, yes, and to call good spirits. That's basically the only intention I have when I create the sweetgrass mist, is just call good spirits, you know? Sweet, vanilla-like, very mild vanilla fragrance is reminiscent of something safe, like your grandmother's kitchen kind of thing, you know, like vanilla. People, and when you feel safe that way, there's the other aspect of this. When you feel that safe, you're bound to be more self-confident and self-assured. And that's the way a rescue remedy can work for you, especially in a moment of crisis or trauma. This is very interesting. I was actually making a sweetgrass essence, the spiritus essence, when I use anhydrous alcohol to solve and extract the sweetgrass from the oil from the plant. You burn the alcohol off and you're left with the oil. It's called an absolute. And I was doing a crackle, old-fashioned way, and I actually spilled a little, and of course baby learned hot, my hand went on fire with the essence and with the alcohol, and I ran to the kitchen sink and I turned the water on, but I burned myself to such a degree on my hand that my teeth were chattering, and it's really bad. And the funny thing is that my good pal Asa, who is actually a New York psychic, I don't know if that's the way to say that, but that's what he is. He's a psychic in New York, and a healer, and an energy worker. And he was my roommate at the time down here in South Florida in my old house, Lighthouse Point, and he got a hit that something had gone very wrong with me. And he came barreling home and found me and then took me to the hospital where they started hitting me with Demerol, and took a couple of shots too. But they said I was going to need the surgeon. Now, here's the funny thing. Asa got sweetgrass oil. And he put it on my forehead, I think it was. I was so freaked. But he kept telling me, you know, you're a healer, breathe, you know, breathe in. And they put that silver nitrate cream on you. And I don't ever want to go through what I went through when they pulled the bandages off. Because if you've ever been burned badly and they bandage you and then they have to change the bandages, oh my God, I've never, no, thank you, not again. You need to shoot me up. And they did. It brought me down fast. But the point was that they said, you know, you're going to have surgery. Asa was there all night. I know he was putting light on my hand. And the only thing, and it was caused by me making sweetgrass, and I used sweetgrass to heal it. And this was my initiation, you might say.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh yeah, that was, I learned. Actually, I met Michael Mikhail, but what do you call it? The funny thing was, the next day the surgeon came in. He said, "Now I'm going to have to take off," and I prepared myself for him taking the bandage off. First of all, it didn't hurt when he pulled the bandage back. It was just the cream, and you could see where it had been burned, but it did not hurt me. Well, this is going to heal. I don't know what they were talking about. Well, that's our invention, a good healer at your side, throwing white light on it, Reiki, or whatever he was using as a healer. Me understanding to work with the plant allies and ask them to heal me. And it works. It happens. And I explained that to the surgeon, who was an East Indian gentleman. And he said, "You mean the little shop up the street?" We were right up the street from the hospital. And I said, "Yes." And he says, "Oh, I go to you for my herbs."
Oh, okay. Wow.
That's all last world, Bunny. But the thing is that when you work with the plants in a vibrational form or in a tea or wash or a tincture, when we're working with the plant allies, they work with us. And there's a consciousness that we can tap into that is alive and vibrant out there on the planet, on the mother, and within the community. And you can reach out now when you create a flower essence. And I'm going to explain to people how they can do it themselves, because I think that's a good thing. If you're really interested in flower essences and in working with them, first of all, you should buy books that, you know, the Bach Flower Remedies, the Desert Alchemy puts out a wonderful book, the basic on flower essences. And then when you want to work with formulas, you come see us, Daughters of Isis, because those are the kind of flower essences we create. Formulas with goals for consciousness. But anyway, for altered awareness and consciousness and evolution. Anyways, yeah, I went and did that. So I would crack away back to it. Where was I, Nick? I was talking about that. I put her to sleep. She's not even answering.
No. Not at all. You were saying, first of all,
I was telling people how when you work with flower essences in any kind of homeopathy, really, if you reach out with your consciousness, just even in intention, and connect with the plant kingdom around you. And I create an essence in my Native American collection. They're called the Spirit Medicines. And it's called Turtle Medicine. And this is the extraordinary thing. When you begin to connect with and communicate with the essential presence of a flower, and people will say to you, "Well, how do you talk to a flower, you know, the consciousness?" Well, excuse me, there is a consciousness to flowers. First of all, the color says something to you. The way it acts in different weather will talk to you. It will speak to you and tell you things about the flower. Its scent, of course, is going to speak to you on many levels. How many petals it has, there's the numerological and the shape of the petals, the geophysical nature of the flower, the way it has green or white leaves, you know, everything about that plant is having a conversation with you. How it opens itself to the sun. When you make flower essences, these are the things you pay attention to, because these things will give you that opening to connect with a deeper consciousness that is very ancient and very second dimension and anchored in the earth. And there's where the consciousness of all the different plant life and mineral kingdoms and everything dwells. And there are voices, there are consciousness that you can, you've never talked to a tree, you know?
Mm-hmm. That makes so much sense to approach it that way. I mean, the flower is telling you something about what it is, because that's what it is. And then it smells like this, it looks like this, it does this. And that's how you get to know a person. So that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, you observe nature before you invest in nature or you share with nature. You observe, you are part nature, but your consciousness is able to find a harmony with the consciousness of the plant kingdom and all the way down to that one flower. I was beginning to talk about my turtle medicine, spirit medicine, essence. And that came about when I knew that I wanted to create a specific medicine, in the turtle medicine. I wanted it to address specific, indications, emotionally, mentally, physically. And I kept, at the time I was working for Corporation Aubon Pan, and I would walk into the industrial center from the boat or coming out of South Station, you know. You walk down the sidewalk and you get back into the industrial center and a lonely sidewalk. And there was this flower that kept growing over and over again, no matter how many people stepped on it or whatever. It kept growing up between the cracks of the sidewalk. Now, any urban dweller, any big city person knows this happens. They see it all the time. You see it every day. You'll see weeds or grass or a little flower coming up from between the concrete or the asphalt, correct?
Sure, absolutely.
That kind of tenacity is a part of that flower's nature. That is speaking to you. That's the first thing I observed about it. Then I observed its color. Its color was pink. And in the middle of it, it had a very bright red dot. I began to observe everything about it, but I kept stepping over it. And I'll tell you why. Because I'm a British trained aromatherapist who was given some instruction in Britain on flower essences. And I've read all of these people who have made all these wonderful healing remedies with plants all over the world. But for the most part, and the largest amount of publishing, recommends and says that in order to create a potentized flower essence, it must be what they call pristine or very clean and pure. In other words, you got to do it out in country. You follow?
Mm-hmm.
But this little flower kept speaking to me every day. And I couldn't understand why all of a sudden I'm like why should I not be making an essence of this flower? It's obviously calling to me, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's got that survivor attitude, right? I'm living no matter what. I will grow.
Yeah, no, hey, listen, it got to the point where even my friend Dee in Boston would say, Gwen, you got something going on with that flower. I would walk over it and I would hesitate. I'd say, I'd catch up and I would stand there for a moment. And I mean, and this flower kept growing past its prime, you know, its prime season. And so, I mean, it would grow, a flower would bloom, another sprout would come up, another flower would be there, but it always seemed to come down to one that was always vibrant and there. And it was talking to me. And finally, I got the message, and I did a meditation on a Saturday when I went to work on a Saturday, a half day, and I was going back home. And so I sat down on the sidewalk next to it, and I did a meditation. I reached out, and I connected, and I finally got it. And basically, this flower was saying, you need me. You need me for turtle medicine. That's how I got it. So I created the essence, which was really strange. I walked over to one of the cafes we had nearby, and I bought a glass bottle of, I think it was peach iced tea, one of my favorites at the time, and you know those Tazo iced teas.
Uh-huh.
And something I do on the road so that I can clear them out to make essences along the road. But that's what I did. And I got some pure water and I harvested the flower and created the essence there. And I sat with it for quite a long while. And it wasn't a busy area, especially on, you know, it wasn't a lot of traffic going by or anything like that. The traffic was like a block over. You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so anyways, I created this. That's my, well, it was very vibrant. Very vibrant indeed. And to get out of the rambling on here, and long story short, the flower was a remedy for urban distress. People who are just overwhelmed and burdened by being in the big city without nature around and feeling extraordinarily,
separated from
the distance, but feeling crisis. It's a different form of crisis. People get into crisis. They'll go about work every day, but they can't understand why they feel so ungrounded. They feel like they're out of their body. This kind of urban crisis that happens to people was what I was looking to work on. And this little flower was the key to making turtle medicine that addresses that. So basically, now I want to share while we're at this, and I know we're kind of swimming around in this, from here to there. But anyone who is interested can begin to create their own flower essences. You know, it's as easy as you consciously observe and approach and speak to the flowers in intention and meditation and in creative like visualizations. And you can harvest flowers that way. Whenever you pick any plant, you should always white light wherever you're cutting the plant. You thank the plant, and you ask the plant, and then you thank the plant. You know, I can't say that often enough, especially to myself, because I'll reach. We have a wonderful little garden down the end of the street here. This lady has such a green thumb. And I always have to remember, you're grabbing that plant now. Communicate and white light where you're going to break the rosemary, you know, to take a little bit. But anyone can definitely create an essence. And if you harvest the flower, the plant correctly, like that with good intention and using creative visualizations of white light and communicating your intentions to the plant, you harvest it and you put it into a pure indigenous water and allow the sun to help you potentize it. Now, there are a lot of people who do this with moonlight. You know, let your imagination and the flowers or the plant be your guide. The same with gemstones and crystals and minerals. You create those the same way. There's no one who cannot apply themselves with the right heart and the right intention and create a very vibrant and potentized flower essence remedy for themselves.
Wow. How do you harvest the flower?
Well, flowers, I get to know. I approach them. First of all, I'll find a flower. On the road, it's different. I will see a flower. I mean, it's, you should ask Ace how many times. I'll say, pull over. I'll see something as we're driving, and I'll go, you got to drive in there, you know. I harvested new growth branches off the great trees in Muir Woods, you know, on the road. I've harvested salt from the salt flats of Utah. There's many things you can harvest, you know. But for the most part, with flower essences, like all of hibiscus and the gardenia, I learn everything I can about the flower. Then I learn about it through observation of maybe a week, a few days, like the honeysuckle. I actually watch that for weeks. And I learn everything I can about the flower. And then I look up what other people have written about them on the spiritual qualities and properties, as well as their, you know, you anybody who's working with plants should have a copy of Culpeppers. I also think folks should have a copy of Scott Cunningham's Encyclopedia of Magical Herbs or Paul Barrel's Magical Herbal. Book of Herbs. And these books, plus there's an Encyclopedia of Essential Oils that gives you great plant information, too. You can't miss it. It's a pictorial, and it's huge, and it's by, I'm looking here. Good Lord, it's a little too dark for me to see. The point is, you can find wonderful publications. Of course, there's always the, I have the little field guides to identify by the Arbor Association. What is that called? You get the little green books. Oh my goodness! And I'm menopause is a wonderful thing. I have an herbal. I have a flower essence for that too. The point is that you identify. You can use field guides of flowers, and there's all sorts of. There's a wonderful book too by the mother. It's just, her name is The Mother, Ari, she's Indian. She created this wonderful book with all these properties of flowers, the spiritual properties of flowers, like Garudas. These books can give you valuable information to open your awareness, but I would highly recommend people following their own instincts. If you think that a flower is going to assist you in a certain way, if your instincts are telling you because this vibrant purple flower is calling out to you, harvest it by, you know, cutting it, approaching it, communicating with it, now how I meditate with the flower and communicate is I'll sit down, get comfortable, ground myself to the Earth Mother by bringing white light from through the sun, down into myself through my crown chakra, through my body, and ground into the heart of the planet with a spiral of white light that comes through me. And then I'll reach out from my heart center with a string of white light and surround the plant. And I'll do that for a few minutes until I feel a click, a connection. And usually once you get used to doing this, you'll feel that click, that connection. And that connection can bring you vivid visions. It can bring you extraordinary colors. It's like that Kodak moment with flowers that you see from the old Disney commercial, you know? A burst of incredible color. And there's just no telling what a certain individual can access visually when they connect with a flower that way. But you must trust it, no matter what it is, because first of all, if you have educated yourself, you're going to have a very good idea of what it is. Now, if it's a seven-petal flower, you're going to use the number seven and its values. You're going to use the value of whatever the color is. I usually relegate that to the chakra value of it. The corresponding of different properties by the geometrics of the shape of petals and leaves. All of these things are something that you learn as you go and you become more detailed. And it's always good to keep a notebook and write down exactly what you're getting, your impressions, and also to describe. And if you're good at it, to draw the flower, because you may be getting a message in your art. You just don't, you know, this is something you have to gestalt. You really have to do this for yourself. You have to. It's something that's very personal. And there are many people that give classes in how to do this by a certain prescribed discipline. Is that put it right? Yeah. Okay. But like I was saying about, you have to be in that pure, pristine place to make flower essences. I built the system. I don't think that is true. I have created essences from different, whole bunch of different seaweeds. I've created starfruit essences. I've created all kinds of different essences, and I've harvested right in the heart of the city. And they're valuable, vital flower essences and environmental essences that work to heal humanity, especially at this time. So the most valuable thing people can do, pardon me, is to basically trust their inner guidance when they're getting to know a flower, or they're getting to, listen, trees are a hoot. I ran into a tree in Denmark that was making fun of me. Okay. Yeah. Smart ass art tree in Denmark.
You pointing and laughing?
He was a real coyote. And he ended up teaching me some very valuable lessons in one afternoon. And he told me that I could find a well that was off to the side of the road. And in Denmark and many of the clean, I call them the clean countries, they have these absolutely beautiful wells to the side of the road with natural water coming out of it. But he told me I needed to get some of that water and to preserve it and take it home with me because it was of a healing nature that I needed. Well, he was quite right. It healed, it helped me to heal an ulcer.
Wow.
Yeah. If you tap in, I mean, it's an extraordinary journey into nature. And flower essences are extraordinary healing companions. They work hand in hand because they're innocuous. They will not hurt a medical protocol in allopathic healthcare, you know, in regular medicine. They are innocuous. They will not harm. They are just vibrational and homeopathic in nature. And they have absolutely so much to offer people, especially about getting to know themselves in a way. When you approach nature and make a bond in nature for the purposes of healing and creating a healing tool, it's extraordinary how you heal. Am I being clear about that?
Absolutely. Yeah, it makes sense. It's first of all, the tuning in with the flowers and understanding this whole life that they have and so much more about them. And then it makes so much sense to apply what they are and what they have to offer to the holistic approach of healing or getting anywhere you want to go. And working with yourself. I think when you're understanding how to work with, you know, the word essence, the essence of this thing, you're also learning to work with the essence of you, because you have to listen and allow and embrace all these things. And it seems like there's a lot of learning on a lot of levels and healing.
They offer us great insight. And the way that Daughters of Isis, my company, is my catalog, is what I'd rather say, is laid out, is you first have the physical, which are the essential oil blends from indigenous communities, and they're companioned with these flower essence formulas that I create that are the bridge between the physical and the immaterial or multidimensional world. It's that bridge from our physical senses to our extra senses. In other words, you know, all of that extra sensory capability that we have, these are bridges. The flower essences offer us bridges. And when I create collections, I companion them that way, from the seen to the unseen, from the known to the unknown, so that... Yeah, the flower essences are they. And I work with people individually when they have specific goals or issues, like even from finding a job to understanding why they are not finding a relationship, or they're having problems with a relationship, or they're unhappy, or they can't seem to get through the grieving process, they think. There's all kinds of issues that flower essences address, and I'll work with individuals, but that's what a flower essence practitioner does, is to work with individuals to find the healing formulas that will work for them in opening their awareness to why they're choosing specific behavior, or to open, you know, or knock down the wall as to the reasons why they may be feeling certain emotions. Like, we don't always know why we're feeling the way we are. It's still a matter of, you know, my mother used to say, well, what did you do that? I don't know.
Right.
What did you take that fish for? That fish had every right to, I don't know.
Right. Why are you crying? I don't know. Why are you so angry? I don't know. It's true.
Yes.
We have to fill ourselves in to the idea.
It's true. And right now, people are walking around with there is so much going on this planet right now. The other thing is, too, flower essences and vibrational remedies, and this includes environmental essences and gem elixirs and mineral elixirs, they are really potent right now. Since the 2012 winter solstice, and when we were on with Danny and Brinkley a couple of weeks ago, and he was talking about this pocket of time between the end of winter solstice and the bang out into that new paradigm shift. We've got, 400 days, he was saying there's this 400. Well, you know, I'm not going with any kind of 400-day. I'm not saying that, but I am saying this. People are going nuts. I'm seeing people become fanatic and just, I mean, I've seen people turn into zealots lately. I mean, you know, just politically, especially political, people are in such fear that their only way of actually fighting back seems to be freaking out. I mean, folks, and it's this way too, if it's not, it's like born again, you know, weirdness or something. If it's not my way, it's the highway. If you don't believe what I believe, well, then you're at a loss. You're not awakened. You're not this, not that. And I'm seeing a lot of that. And flower essences will address these things. Same as essential oils, in the sense that can help trigger us into wonderful healing ideals and memories. But flower essences, I would say more so, because right now the multidimensional healing tools seem to have some real power right now. I mean, power I've not seen since I began working with them. I can see where I used to do a thing at the shop. I'd take this wonderful laser crystal I had years ago, that was this wonderful huge laser crystal. I'd go out front and I'd do what I call fishing if business was slow. And I'd throw the reel out through that white light, through that laser, and with the intention of pulling customers in. Worked every time. It's now, it's all or nothing. It's like, you know, then it was something that was a great tool. It would bring people in, didn't mean you're going to make sales. But now it's like an all or nothing thing. Things are very dramatic these days. And flower essences are a wonderful tool to help people tone down the drama and see what's there for them in moving forward this shift in this time.
Yeah, it's like everything is so big right now. So it makes sense that the flowers, I mean, nobody thinks of a flower and thinks of war and abuse and any kind of anything like that, you know. So as well as the balance that flowers have with the earth and when they blossom, when they don't, it sounds like really balance is a great benefit from them.
Well, it is, and there's something else that's been going on, too. You know, for thousands of years, the shaman of the village and mankind, as in his artistry and in his spiritual walk, use the plants to open awareness to the fullest degree. I'm talking about ethnobotany, about psychotropic drugs, plants, psychotropic plants. They're called drugs, but they're plants. I'm not talking about acid. I'm talking about psilocybin and something that's very popular, MDA or the ayahuasca tea. A lot of people are doing this. Now, from my perspective, before I began working with the mind altering, the openers of the way, the herbs of Tahuti, before I began doing that, I've studied, and usually with somebody who has helped me to understand how to approach a journey like that. You know, it's like snake dance. You're gonna chow down on those peyote buttons. Well, you better know what they're gonna bring you to. I've worked with the ayahuasca. My thing, as who I am, as Splendor, what I work with, is I'm hearing feedback. Is that me?
I don't know. I just
moved, so go on.
It's gone?
No, it's gone. So what I've done doing is making vibrational essences. I've taken the ayahuasca tea plants and the bark and the weed, and I've created vibrational essences of it. I've made vibrational essences of psilocybin and of peyote and of marijuana. These things, of course, I just opened myself there. But the point is, these are amazing healing tools. And used with the vibrational, from the vibrational point, they can be worked with more intention and focus by serious people who don't necessarily wish to have all their physical senses shut down and go completely within. Maybe they're not ready for it, or perhaps it isn't required in their journey. But working with the mind opener and the journey opening that these plants will offer, vibrational remedy is something that should be employed. And basically, that's my job. It's what I do. And I've been working with them for 7 years. They're in my formulas, you know?
Yeah.
Outside, this is something people should remember. The use of visionary plants outside of trained or traditional shamanic usage isn't really a spiritual experience. It's an experience, and sometimes it's just an excuse to take recreational drugs. It's basically... And a lot of people do go on ayahuasca weekends with Peruvian shaman who do give them instruction in it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, though, how plentiful, like, ayahuasca is out there and how many people are just, you know, sort of chowing down. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I read that article about people, and it makes sense. It's part of the course, isn't it, that they have a lot of shamans that are quote-unquote shamans, but they're kind of, you know, rickshaw little, you know, back alley guys. And they're giving people either, you know, a crazy dose or also just not having the instruction, not having the guide, you know. I mean, that's a big thing because what's going to happen? Well, you're using your mind. Well, if your mind isn't sure what's going to happen, I mean, of course, everybody's experience is different, but at least to have a guideline of how this thing works. I mean, you can imagine the, you know, craziness that ensues, and apparently some people are having a very tough time with it. Well, understandably so, you know. Also the vibration, clearly, that it's being used with, you know, if somebody's there to just kind of take you on a ride and you're taking this extremely powerful psychotropic drug, you know, that vibration is in it too, and I'm sure it's a whole other trip. It has to affect the trip.
Yeah, and so basically, there's a responsibility, you know, there's a responsible nature to be had with all of this. And I do, I've done this for years now. I've created, especially for my Mayan essences, the journey through Xibalba B, which is all about coming into this paradigm shift and walking with the astrological influences alone and the stress and the sometimes overwhelming symptoms of consciousness shifting that many sensitive people who have been working with light and healing tools and journeying towards this for so many years are experiencing right now. It's the shakedown cruise, you know, getting across the treacherous waters, if you will. Mm-hmm. And there are remedies that we can work with. And one of the remedies being of course, the self-authority that Danian spoke of so well, understanding that death is, well, as the guy said in the movie, it's only the beginning, you know.
Yeah, just a transition.
It's just a transition. It truly is. But there are a lot of people who are right now who are colleagues and fellow journeyers to you and I who are out there wondering and thinking if it isn't just time for them to cross because things are really very stressful. I mean, that's something people have been thinking about. I know. And then there are those who are just going through the bumpy shakedown of it all and not doing such a hot job and can use the extra, you know, insight and the extra anchor to rescue, you know. There's all kinds of rescue.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there really
right?
is. There really
yeah.
is. So at the last 4 minutes or 5 minutes here of the show, I'd really like for you to let people know what's going to be going on Monday night.
Yeah, so 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio, here be Monsters. I'm going to do a show called Spirit Therapy with Nicole. And this week we're going to talk about, the topic is, I hate my job. What do I do? So I'm going to talk about, you know, some ways that you can ease your mind to start with and then start to make some shifts around you and in every sense, in your mind and energetically, in the physical world, all of that. So, yeah, so tune in. And the phone lines will be open. If you have a question, I will do my best to answer it well and concisely. So there you go. Join us.
And people should remember that this is going to be a call-in program with Nicole. And some personal therapy questions can be asked, Nicole?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. If you want to ask on the topic we're talking about or some other question that you have, you know, we'll go with that and we'll see where the conversation takes us. So, yeah.
Wonderful. Wow. Okay. So on Monday, this Monday night, which is the 29th I'll get it in a minute. Oh,
right.
Okay.
Yeah.
July,
and also, I just want to mention Monday morning from 7 a.m. to 12 p.m., give or take, there's a huge diamond tetrahedron formation in the cosmos that hasn't happened since the end of World War II. It's very rare. And it's basically the Star of David. There's a triangle that's right side up and a triangle that's pointing down. And it's basically a wonderful portal to other dimensions, the next thing. So you know, tune in and meditate, or at least, you know, have your tentacles open for that and enjoy. See what happens.
When is this?
It's Monday the 29th from 7 a.m. to 12 p.m.
Okay.
You know, general time. Yeah.
All right. Okay. So you don't know what that alignment's called.
It's a tetrahedron. It's a diamond tetrahedron. That's what it's called.
Okay. Well, look for that and that information out there. Hey, I didn't even know. Remember that the consciousness shift is brought to you by daughtersofisis.com. The fragrant memories of our ancestors. Go on over and check out my flower essence collections. I write a whole lot of stuff up and explain them pretty well on the website. And remember, you can always call me. I'm Gwen, the blender at Daughters of Isis. You can call me at the bench, and I'm happy to answer any of your questions. Nicole, thank you for being with me, as always.
Yes, thank you so much. Wonderful information. Well done.
Thank you. And
yeah.
I thank you for all. And we will be back with you next Thursday on The Consciousness Shift from Nicole Tomasini and Gwen Berry. That's it.
It's 8 o'clock.
Thank you, Computer Man. Good night, everyone.
Nighty night.